tonight, Trent Sherwin from Kirbyville, Texas. He's attended the Memphis School of Preaching, graduated in 2016. He's been working with the Hollins Church of Christ since 2019. Brother Sherwin will speak about the second death. Our theme this month is High Time to Awake Out of Your Sleep. All right, Brother Sherwin, it's your time.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thankful for two of our brethren across the San Jacinto River over here in Highlands. We're thankful that we have the opportunity to reach out to those who are not members of the church, those that were members of the church but have fallen away. It's such an important topic to wake out of your sleep, to pay attention, because our adversary, the devil, is a very vicious lion. He is very persistent, and he desires to take us from our Father. And we need to be ready to battle against his wiles and against his darts, and to be strong against unfaithfulness and false teaching. Death is a fundamental fact of life. It's something that every human will face. Hebrews 9:27 mentions that it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. There's no other choice for the end of your life. You will die. Everyone will. You know the old cliche, there's two certainties in life, death and taxes. Well, we're not so worried about taxes. Thankfully, you know, that's almost over, but death will come for everyone. In Revelation 2, verse 11, Jesus is writing to a very special church in Smyrna. Over there in Asia Minor, it's a congregation that receives no bad things from Christ. He doesn't complain. He doesn't say anything negative about them. They have. And I think that the church at Smyrna is a very good example to all of the world of just trying to be good, simple Christian people. In verse 11, he says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Remember when I was in high school, there was the saying of, "You only live once." I remember hearing that and thinking, that's kind of, you know, peculiar to think. Being reared in the church and having the mindset that most within the church do, is I understood that, well, in fact, it's yo-do. You only die once instead of YOLO. You only live once. I plan on living twice, on this side of time and on the other, instead of dying twice. I don't want any part of that second death. After death comes judgment. There's so many today that are fearful of death. It's unknown. We can't die and then be reborn and explain and be able to go back and change things. It's the end of this life. It's the end of all that we know. And it's the question of what happens afterward. And it's actually a question that many have asked that don't even believe in God. They ask the question, well, what happens after this life? Is it something that is going to be grand? Is it something that we could understand? Do we cease to exist? Is there a part of us that lives forever? And it's a very important question for us to ask. The subject of death is so often not taught on because, well, it's not really pleasant to think about. I mean, in reality, who enjoys going to a funeral? There are many preachers of the gospel who struggle with some funerals because, you know, in our world, we miss and grieve after those who leave us. And it's not a pleasant thing for the child of God. Well, it sort of, I don't want to say it's a pleasant thing, but those that die in the faith, there's no more pain, there's no more suffering, there's no more evil, there's no more dealing with this world, there's no more dealing with Satan himself. You're free. You are now in paradise. You're comforted, and everything is just as God would have it is. And how blessed we are to know that if we die in the hands of God, there's not a really large concern for us to be fearful of death. We, as Christians, really should be looking forward to being with our Master. Jesus taught on the subject of hell and death more than any other subject. And I remember the first time I really realized that and heard that, I was very questioning as to why our Savior would make that type of topic the main topic that he talked about more than anything else. But there's a passage that comes to mind in Ezekiel 33, verse number 11. This is God speaking through Ezekiel to the children of Israel who have been unfaithful to him, even though they're in captivity. They've been so hard-headed and idolatrous for years and years and years. And this is what God has to say. Saith unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel? God's justice makes it absolute. God has given us his word. He has sent us everything we know for life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. He's given us his inspired word of God, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17, and is profitable to us. It leads us to life eternal. He's given us that. God is all loving. He is all merciful. He is all gracious. But the fact that so many people want to overlook, God is also all just. What is the punishment of sin? Well, according to Paul in Romans 6, verse number 23, the wages of sin is death. But rather, the gift of God is eternal life. There is a chance. God does not enjoy. He doesn't take pleasure. It doesn't bring him great happiness to send a soul who has rejected him for decades, who has lived according to what they wanted instead of what God wanted. It does not please him. It does not give him any sort of joy to send that soul to torment, to send that soul to hell. It pains him. It grieves him. What he desires more than anything, notice the last part of that verse, that the wicked should turn from his way and live. That's the choice that we have. That's the choice that every human being has, is to turn from their wicked way and to live for Christ. Earlier in Romans chapter 6, verse 16 through 18, Paul speaks on how we are all servants of somebody. Either we're serving God or we are serving Satan. We serve God by being diligently following after him, faithful followers of God, or we simply live after Satan. And that's really easy to do because we just do whatever we want. We don't have to live any certain type of way. We don't go to the church of Satan. We don't worship him. We just sit and watch TV instead of going to worship. We go play golf instead of going to worship. We spend more time at sporting events than reading the Word of God. We just live however we want to, and it results in us not being where God would desire for us to be. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter tells us that God is patient. He is long, long, long suffering. He's not willing for any to perish, that is, to be sent to hell, but that all should come to repentance, should understand, my life's not where it should be. I should change it. For years gone by, and it's not as common today, unfortunately, the preachers preached sermons that were considered hellfire and brimstone sermons. Folks, that's good for us. That's important for us. We need to understand our place. We need to understand the fact that if I don't live my life correctly, I'm not going to be in a place where I want to be. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. We're ready to go there. We long to go there. We desire to go there. Hell, on the other hand, is a prepared place for an unprepared people, people that are not ready to meet God, as Brother Beller preached on yesterday. Whenever we're not prepared to meet God, we're not going to end up where we really desire to be. Number one this afternoon, what kind of people will be in hell? What will the population be like? Well, in Matthew 25, Jesus gives us a parable. He's teaching us on the final judgment, letting us get a glimpse into at least what we can see as to kind of what's happening, what's going to happen. And in verse 41 of Matthew 25, he says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, the goats that are separated from the sheep, those that were not faithful to him, those that were not living right to him, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Satan is going to be there. His followers are going to be there. The ones that have rejected God continually, and we'll speak more on angels later, into a place that, what does he call it? Everlasting fire. I don't know if any of you have ever been burned, but hopefully at least some of us have been around a fireplace, a fire pit outside, especially in Houston here just several weeks ago when we had that frost. Everybody was wanting to be around a fire. But, even standing around a stove, fire is not cold. It is very warm. And we teach our children, don't even get close to that because you'll get burned. Why? Because burns are extraordinarily dangerous. They can inflict so much damage and do so much harm to us. Imagine just being on fire all the time without end. Heaven is a spiritual place, and I think, therefore, that hell is a spiritual place. And our Lord and his apostles start describing hell to us in ways that we can understand, trying to help us get a glimpse into just how absolutely horrific and frightening and scary and just so many horrible things that will be there. If a lake that fires with or burns with fire and brimstone, as it's called in the book of Revelation, it's a place of darkness. Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, Jesus says, a place of loneliness, place where God is not. Speak more on that in a moment. In Revelation 21, verse number 8, John gives us a glimpse into also the sorts of people that will inhabit hell. It's a wicked place filled with wicked people. In Revelation 21, verse 8, he says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone." This is our study tonight, the second death. Dying once is mandatory for all human beings. Dying twice is 100% our choice. You do not have to die the second time. You could save yourself from that pain and that evil if you so choose. Notice who's there. Those that are fearful. Those that are too afraid to become Christians for some reason. The unbelieving. Those that just cast off any kind of faith in God. Think it's a foolish thing. We'll talk more about that later as well. The abominable. The murderers. Those that kill for no reason, those that plan in their mind to take someone else's life, whoremongers, those that are sexually immoral, sorcerers, those that believe that they're so powerful and important, idolaters that worship false gods or place other things above the importance of Jehovah God, and all liars, white lies, small lies that we tell people because it's no big deal. Well, those can keep you out of heaven. Those will inhabit you if that becomes a continuous habit in a place where you do not want to be. It's in a lake. It's a place that burns with fire and brimstone. It's a place that is painful to be. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to these brethren, and they're good brethren. They have some issues in thinking of the second coming of Christ. But in the first chapter of 2 Thessalonians, verse number 7 starting, Paul, through inspiration, says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, whenever time is no more and Christ comes back and he is descending in the clouds to call up his own, he descends with himself, with his mighty angels. Notice what happens, verse 8. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them. Two things here. Who does he take vengeance on? Number one, those that do not know him. Those that don't know God. Well, there's not really a whole lot of people on this planet that don't know God, that at least have not heard of him. But what does it take to know God? Well, we understand from passages like Psalm 19, 1 through 6, that the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. We understand that this incredible creation that he has created, some power had to create it, and God says he did. And through trusting him and through the evidences he gives, we understand that he is the creator of all. But without his word, we cannot know him. We don't understand that the commandments of the Lord are right. The statutes of the Lord are just. We can't know what God is, who God is, what he desires for his creation unless he revealed it unto us. And thanks be to God that he did. He told us exactly who he was. He tells us exactly what he desires for us to do and to be. He's taking vengeance on them that do not have a relationship with him, that do not know him, number two, and them that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He takes vengeance on those that don't know God because they didn't want to and did not obey Christ because they did not want to. How sad it is to be in that place. But notice what else he says, verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It is not going to be pleasant. It's going to be eternal destruction. It's the idea of the best way that I guess I can describe it is it's being killed over and over and over and over and over again. It's not a physical death as in what we're talking about, but in eternity it's being destroyed over and over. It's eternal destruction from the presence of God. In Revelation 14, verse 11, Jesus also calls it a place of eternal torment. It's not a place where you're going to rest. It's not a place where you're going to be punished for 10 years and then you'll be fine after that. It's not a place where you're going to get used to the punishment. As children, as we grow older, we don't really see a lot of people spanking their children anymore because it's frowned upon, unfortunately, but the Bible teaches it's okay to spank your child. It's important for us to understand this punishment. It's not something that we get used to as we get older. Sometimes as children, whenever our parents spank us, the older we get, the less effect it might have. But notice Mark 9, verse number 43 and following. He says, if your hand offends you, cut it off. For it is better for you to enter into life maimed without a hand than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. Forest fires rage across California. Around Houston, sometimes we have flares that are going off and burning in the night sky that we can see. Imagine being in a place where it's nothing but fire. Continuously and always. Notice what he says, verse 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. If your foot offends you, cut it off. It is better for you to enter into life halt or maimed or lame than having 2 feet to be cast into hell where the fire that never shall be quenched is, where the worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. If your eye offend thee, same thing. It is better for you to go into life with one eye or even no eyes than to have 2 eyes to go into hell. Well, the worm doesn't die and the fire is not quenched. It's a place where there's not going to be a stop to the pain. There's not going to be an end to the punishment. In Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he is describing what kind of people follow after him. And he's told us that we need to be the salt of the earth. We need to be a light unto the world. And in Matthew 7, verse number 21, he gives us a judgment scene here. He says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that continually does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? And I will profess unto them, I don't know who you are. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, you that are continuously in sin." All of these passages that we have talked about give a main idea of what hell truly is, about what the second death really is. It's the absence of God. It is God not being there. Every human being that has ever lived, if God could just peel back the lid of hell and allow us to see it, experience it for just a fleeting moment, I am certain that there would not be one person who would not become a Christian. If we really understood what hell was, if we could actually experience it and come out of it and understand, I don't want to be there. So many people would leave that lifestyle of sin behind and would become Christians and live faithfully to our Father. He tries to help us understand that to the best of our ability. An eternity away from the one that created you, an eternity away from the one that loved you so much that his own son was slaughtered on the cross so that you could have the forgiveness of your sins. To finally see love, true love in its realest sense, because all love comes from the Father, to see the face of God and to hear him tell us to leave him forever and not having a say about it, not getting a second chance, not getting a do-over in life, but seeing his face turn from us and to never see it again. For eternity, a place where there is no time. It's not a million years, it's not a billion years, and it's hard for us to even fathom that length of time, but there is no time there. It's a place with no end. It is forever. For the child of God gone astray, it's even more painful. In the second chapter of 2 Peter, Peter warns brethren about false prophets. He begins teaching about how false prophets have gone into the church. They have just started to spread lies and spread teachings that are just so not true, that are so not factual, and how much damage they have done. But I want us to notice 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. This is after the false teachers have promised them freedom, have promised them all of these great and wonderful things if they will just renounce Christ and follow after them. Verse 20 of 2 Peter 2. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, once one has become a Christian, has left that old life behind, has made a decision every single day to follow after Christ and to do the things that he desires for us to do, if they are there again entangled with the world, overcome with the world, the latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to even have known the way of righteousness than to, after they have known it, turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them." Imagine staying in hell forever, knowing that you had it. You had the chance. You had eternity with the Father in your grasp. And you let it go. You decided to let it go. You were ungrateful for your gift. You were ungrateful for Christ's sacrifice. And now you're separated from God forever. And you get all of eternity. Time where there is no time. Place where there is no time, rather. Forever contemplate that you are almost there. In Revelation 20, verse 14 and 15, at the end of time, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, separated from God. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was also cast into the lake of fire. In 1 Corinthians 6, Paul gives us a list. He gives us a list of those who will also be found in the lake of fire, whose names will not be written in the book of life. Notice what he says, verse number 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They will not go to heaven. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. However you want to, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. I thank Paul and the Holy Spirit through inspiration for writing verse number 11. Because if that's all we had, verse 9 and 10, we're in trouble. We're in very deep trouble. And such were some of you. You were idolaters, adulterers, fornicators, unrighteous, thieves, covetous, homosexuals, effeminate. You are all of those things, but you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Folks, the second death is up to you. It is completely your decision whether you want to live only once and die twice, or if you want to die only once and live twice. Understanding verse number 11 of 1 Corinthians 6, we were washed through hearing the word of God that produces faith, Romans 10:17, through believing in Christ and being baptized into him for salvation, Mark 16:16, repenting of our sins, or we will perish if we don't believe that Christ is, and if we don't repent of our sins, John 8, verse 32, and Luke 13, verse number 3, and verse number 5, and being baptized into Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27, so that we can be in Christ where all spiritual blessings are, Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Is this your lot tonight? Because this might be the last night of your life. Thank you.